clean up some more stuff in Romans chapter 8. But if you are familiar with the Word of God, in Romans chapter 7, Paul speaks of a war that's going on in his flesh. He's talking about he does things that he wish he hadn't done, and he does things that he wish he didn't do, because the spirit, the flesh man is warring against the spiritual man. But he is wanting to be holy. He wants to be righteous. He wants to be good before God. But his flesh man wars against that. Even Paul. Paul said, "I do the things that I wish that I don't want to do." Amen. And the things that I do want to do, I don't do. Has anybody ever fell into that? Maybe this week, yesterday, this morning. Things you don't want to do. Today I'm going to give you one. I'm going to be cheerful. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to tell my wife she's beautiful and I love her. And all of a sudden this critical thought comes out. Could you please hurry up? What are we doing, right? And in my mind, in my spirit's going, that's not what you said you were going to do. Golly, I'm the only one. I'm out there on that limb dancing like a 300-pound bear right now. But I'm going to come to church this morning, and I'm going to worship, and I'm going to praise, and I'm going to hear a word, and I'm going to go out better than I came in. Then you come in and do a critical spirit. Oh, man, look at this. God, too hot, too cold. Too many, too little, not enough, didn't sing what, didn't hear, didn't preach, didn't, right? Am I the only one? Paul puts that in there. He says, those things are going on. There's a war on the inside of me. But then he writes, pens, by way of the Holy Ghost, he pens Romans chapter 8. Because if he ended with Romans chapter 7, we would all just put our heads down and go, it's unwinnable war. We're defeated. But God placed His Spirit on the inside of us that gives us an agent that we can win the war. Amen? Whew, glory to God. Thank you for Romans 8. Romans 8, 1 says, there is therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Good God. I'm not condemned. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what my flesh says. I don't care what my mind says. I am not condemned. I have a Holy Spirit on the inside of me who says, not condemned. Justified in Christ Jesus. So even when I don't do the thing that I should do or do the thing that I don't want to do, the Spirit of God comes along inside and swells up and says, you're not condemned. Let me take the lead. Yield to me. Yield to my way. Yield to who I am. If you will yield to me, if you'll let God get out in front of you, then we will do the right things. Ooh, glory to God. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Whew. Sin and death. The law itself will condemn you. The law, it condemns us. Sin condemns us. But man, the Spirit of God sets us free. I didn't even know when I got saved, I didn't even know what living was. I didn't know how free it was. I didn't know. I thought Christians, I'm being honest with you, I thought, man, most boring, lifeless people are Christian people. That's what I thought. I don't ever see them laughing. They're always mad. They're always mean-spirited. They're always hard-hearted. They're always critical. Maybe just some of the churches I went to. But praise God, when I got saved, I laugh. I enjoy life. I can do some things in my life that I really thoroughly enjoy. And guess what? The next day, I ain't got to lie about it. I ain't got to cover it up. I ain't got to hide it. I ain't got to tell, well, I'm on it. I just say, praise God, I'm in Christ Jesus. And I mean living life. Living an enjoyable life. It's amazing what God's doing. Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own, what's this right here? God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. He died and he condemned sin. He won that war and put us at good footing by the Holy Spirit to fight the war inside of us. Aren't you glad you got the Holy Spirit on the inside? What I want you to do today, this is going to be a real checkup on the inside. There's going to be several verses here in a row. I think it's 8, 9, 10, and 11. It checks if you have the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you are a different creature. You are a new creature in Christ. Things are shaking and moving in your life that weren't before. Amen? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Remember when I said yield? Man, when you get saved and born again and God puts the Spirit of God in you, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes along, and if you would just yield to it. Now, if you don't, you can act out in the flesh. I know, I've done it. You can. But if you'll yield to the Holy Spirit, He'll give you the right words and the right actions. He'll give you the right words. I'm going to say that again. He'll give you the right words and the right actions. If you'll wait on Him, if you'll let the Spirit of God, if you will listen and wait for it, you'll say the right thing. How many of you have a problem with saying the right thing? And how many problem doing the wrong thing? Amen? Well, guess what? You let that Holy Spirit get in there and go ahead of you instead of your flesh going ahead of it. Verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." What is your mind on? What are you following? What are you leading in? Amen? "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." But what it's saying is if you are living in your fleshly mind, you are at war, you are an enemy of God. Amen? When you get the Spirit of God in you, you no longer justify sin. You know whose sin you do not justify first and foremost? Your own. Your sin becomes a burden to you. The Holy Spirit points it out. It's almost like something standing up in the middle of the room and looking right at your sin going, "That's in here." Amen? One sin, any sin in your life, God will condemn by way of the Holy Spirit. He will point it out and say, "That don't belong here. That doesn't belong in your life." I worry about anybody who can willfully and openly sin and still say, "I'm good with God. I'm saved. I'm born again." But praise God, when I sin, here's what happens. Every time I go to pray, every time I go to read the Bible, every time I go to church, God says, hey, we got a problem here. We got an issue here. We got a thing going on here. If you'll get that out of the way, I can work. Sometimes we wonder, we're in church, we're like, man, where's the Holy Spirit? Where's God at? Why aren't people not getting saved? Why are people not getting delivered? Why are people not shouting and praising and running? Where's that Holy Spirit that moves breastplate from breastplate to breastplate? Because there's sin that's unrepented. Man, I've been in ministry almost 16 years now. There's been times where I'm sitting there thinking, man, there ain't people getting saved. There's not people, the Spirit of God's not moving. People are not getting delivered from drug addiction. There's things going on, and I can't get nothing out of the Word of God every single time. You know what I do? I don't look around and go, it's that. I get on my face before God and say, woe is me. God, where is it? If it's in me, get it out of me. If it's my sin, reveal it. Some of y'all need to make that simple prayer today. God, if I've got sin in my life, reveal it and help me get rid of it. Because some of we're stuck in ruts. We're stuck in ruts and wondering why God ain't working. Why ain't God hearing my prayers? Oh, it seems like the prayers are going up to the ceiling and just dropping down. Maybe we got something. Does anybody else in your life, when you've done something against them grievously, do they answer your request right away? Do they talk to you in any way? I know when I make people mad in my life, when I go to contact them, you know what? They're not talking to me the way they used to. But praise God, if I go and say, I'm sorry for anything I have done wrong and messed up, please forgive me, or I'll make amends for it. Guess what? That opens up a line of communication that's different. God ain't no different if we'll come to Him by way of the Holy Spirit and say, God, my spirit is burdened. My spirit is broken before you. That's what's wrong with the church. We don't ever get spiritually broken anymore. We're like, God, deal with it. Deal with who we are. You're just going to have to deal with this. God says, I won't deal with it. I won't get around that. I won't even get around that. And if you're anything like me and you love Jesus, I know you do. There's a room full of you that love Jesus. Praise God, I don't like doing God stuff without Jesus. I spent my whole life trying to read a Bible without Jesus. It's hard, impossible. It means nothing. I tried to talk to God. I used to pray to God when I was lost. It sounded like this: God, get me out of this trouble. He didn't hear that either. Amen? I used to go to church when I was lost. You ever go to church lost? Well, that's about an hour and a half of struggle. Amen? That's a struggle bus. Amen? You get in there and you're sitting there and you're going, man, what are these people so excited about? What are they so tore up about? What's going on in their lives? Man, can't they just get over it? But praise God, we can't get over it because Jesus. I would come to church and it was miserable. I'm like, man, hurry up. But then I got saved. Man, I didn't come to church. I'm a part of the church. I realize church ain't about me all the time. I'll stop right there for a minute. Church ain't about me all the time. The music ain't about me. The message ain't got to be about me. All things ain't got to be about me. Sometimes you got to come to church for somebody else. Sometimes you come to church to be the ears for somebody else, the hands for somebody else. Sometimes you're just here to make somebody else steady. Sometimes you're here to sharpen somebody else. Sometimes you come, you feel great, and you don't even know why you're here. Praise God, you're here to help somebody else who ain't feeling great. Ain't that amazing? When we find out, man, I came to church where somebody can look over and say, Sister so-and-so's still here. You know there's people sitting in this church saved, born again right now, because people used to come to church here and they did it consistently, and they were in love with God, and people would come by here when they were lost, and they'd look at this church and go, they're still there. They're still serving God. It wasn't always about them. It was about somebody seeing their life. I figured this out. Sometimes in ministry, you'll do some amazing things, and you'll think that's the point. You'll be like, this is exactly what God's doing. And somebody's watching from a corner. Somebody's listening from another point of view. Somebody's watching what you're doing. And next thing you know, they got a blessing. We're going to get to heaven. We're going to find out there's some residual stuff that happened that we didn't even know we were a part of. People are overhearing your conversations. I can't tell you how many places I've walked into, hospitals, funeral homes, different places, and go to praying and think I'm sitting there helping that family when really most of the time they're helping me. But then look around and see a little nurse or a little doctor or somebody sitting there going, my God, my God. And watching and hearing and listening and not knowing, because they taught them all this stuff in a book, but they didn't teach them about the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Verse 6, For to be carnally minded is death, but the spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it neither is subject to law of God, neither it can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you are in the flesh, you are not pleasing God. I want you to know that. If you are operating in your flesh, if you are making decisions that are totally based in what you want in your flesh, God is not pleased with any of that. Let's do this. I'm going to get in trouble right here, but I'll stay right here for a second. Right here. If you are in sin, do not put God's signature on your sin. God allowed this to happen because this, if it's a sin, God is not the author of that. God will not give you, tell you, or send you into a sin. That is you and you alone. And God will not be pleased with it, happy with it, or do anything good with it until you repent of it and do what He says to do. And do what He says to do. Some of the stuff that you love the most and you repent of it, God will say, leave it alone. And you will not want to leave it alone. Anybody in here contest to that? There's some things that I've told God. I'm tired of that. I'm not going to do it anymore. Forgive me of it. And God said, all right, again, don't touch it ever again. Don't go there again. Well, God, I said I was sorry. I said I was sorry that I did. Well, you mean you don't ever want me even to talk, visit, see, look, think, touch, move, go around? Yes. Amen? Repent means turn from. Repent is not a big, it's not a big theological thing. It's like a tennis ball hitting a wall. It was going one way one day, and when it hit the wall, it started going another way the next day. That's repentance. Turn from. I guarantee you there's half of this crowd or more. There's something in your life that if you were to repent from it, that means turn from it, ask God to forgive you of it, your life would start taking a different track. you would start seeing some freedom and liberty and peace and joy in your life. Most of the time, we'll think of it this way. Well, if so-and-so would get better. Boy, if my daddy or if my mom or if my brother or my sister or my friend or that church member would get better. What about us? Everybody starts screaming all the time, revival, revival, revival. Do you know where revival starts from? When the people that are holy and righteous repent. When the most holy, humble person you know comes up here and says, God, forgive me of my sins. Give me of my sins, Lord. You know, we'd have a great revival in our churches if people in the church who hated each other would come and just say, I'm sorry, will you go to the altar and help me pray about it? Better quit messing around right there. We might get into real revival. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so, watch this verse 9. There's a lot of ifs in these next verses. And here, do a little examination. I'm about to be done preaching, I promise. Because I didn't come here to get a big altar call or get somebody to do this. I came here to maybe let you do an examination just in these next few verses to find out if the Holy Spirit is in you or not. Okay? Because if it's in you, you're saved and born again, you're on your way to heaven. If it's not, you're on your way to hell. Separated from God for eternity. And we, as believers in Jesus Christ, that should make us weep that we are in the presence of lost people and we don't care. Amen? Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so, listen to this, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Jesus ain't in you, if the Holy Spirit of God is not in you, you are none of his. None. Some of y'all are sitting here going, right now, how would I know if the Spirit is God is in me? But the things that you used to love, you hate. And the things that you used to hate, you now love. And you start to do things that are strange. There was a man by the name of Nicodemus. It's in John chapter 3, if you ever get the chance. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He was the most religious man you'll ever meet. There's not a person in this room right now that's as religious as Nicodemus was. He knew the law. He knew the scriptures. He studied the law. He was on a religious board. He was a high up. He was a part of the Sanhedrin. And when the Sanhedrin broke down and they went into a smaller group to meet, he was in that meeting too. Amen? He was righteous in his own eyes. He was righteous before men, but he was not righteous before God. And God began to burden him. Have you ever been burdened by God? Does anybody in here ever get saved? Remember when you got saved, you couldn't help it. You feel like something out of Star Wars or Star Trek. Feel like you got pulled in by the old tractor beam. If you're a child of the 80s, you know what I'm talking about. The old tractor beam used to be, if you got within the mothership radius, the tractor beam would shoot out and you couldn't pull your thrusters. You couldn't get out of its range. You just kept getting pulled in. Amen. Charlie knows what I'm talking about. You just start, the old tractor beam started drawing you in. That's Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You got in a meeting. You got in church. You got somewhere in your home. All of a sudden, God started pulling you in and you wanted to get out. You wanted to hold on the pew. You wanted to run out the back door, but God kept drawing you and pulling you. Next thing you know, you was on an old-fashioned altar. You was down in the floor. You were somewhere praying out, calling out to a holy God for your salvation. That's the good stuff. When you did that, man, that's the Holy Spirit. He starts drawing and pulling and trying to get you. That's what Jesus, man, that's old Nicodemus. Man, I guarantee you, he was sitting up there in his home. Man, he looked down in his outfit and he thought, man, I look pretty good. I know more scriptures than most do. I do more religious things. I pray. I do fasting. I do all these different things. I'm a good man. But all of a sudden, he goes, that Jesus, man. That old G, I know where he's at tonight. He's down there at that little house. I know where he's at. That's where he operates from. Did y'all see it? I see the Bible like a movie. Old Nicodemus sitting in his house. Maybe he's married. I don't know. But his wife, what's wrong with you? Nicodemus, what's wrong with you? God, Jesus. He's just bugging me. Won't you go in there and read another scroll? I've read all the scrolls. Kind of, every time I read them now, all I see in them is Jesus. I shouldn't have to go down there to him. He should come up to me. That's what should happen. I mean, he should be up here right now talking to me. I'm important. I'm an important person in the church. That's how we are with God sometimes, ain't it? God should come to me. We should come to him. Nicodemus, I see him out there on the street now. He's moving from house to house, shadow to shadow. Charlie, I see him lean up against one house sitting there going, what am I doing? What am I doing here? I could be at home sleeping. But I can't even sleep this Jesus. And he makes his way to the place where Jesus is staying that night. Can you see him? God, I can't wait to see that. I want to see that live. Jesus opens the door. Hey, Nicodemus, how are you? God. Nicodemus starts out with his best line. Charlie said, we know. He should have said it the way he should have said it. He said, I know. He had to throw we in there because it makes you feel good. He said, I know. You're a teacher come from God. Nobody can do what you're doing. Jesus leans out in the doorway and says, you must be born again. God, it didn't even, he didn't tell him what he's been doing, what he's not been doing right. He just tell him, you must be born again. Nicodemus goes, how in the world am I going to enter back into my mother the second time and be born? He goes, that what is born of the flesh is flesh. When you were born of the water, you're born of the water. That is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit. That's where I came to preach at this morning. Man, I was standing outside of my house on Thursday. I live over there, and there's a lot of trees where I live at right now. And praise God, I was out there, and the wind was blowing them trees. And you know, it's fall, and them leaves are just moving back and forth. Some of them's falling off. And I was looking at it, and God said, that's the way the Spirit of God works. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. He said, if the Spirit of God in you is in you, it's like when the wind blows. You can't tell where it come from, and you don't know where it goes. But the wind is moving in their life. I'm asking you this morning, is the wind moving in your life? Let me ask you, is the Spirit of God even moving in your life? Because I started thinking, man, those same trees, I've been there a couple years now, but those same trees in the springtime, they get moved around too with them big storms, spring storms, you know. And I thought about it in a church kind of mindset. How about some of you that are saved in your early in life, in the spring of your life? We don't see many people in the spring of their life get saved and live out for Jesus. We got a lot of people who got profession, but we don't see a whole lot of wind in the trees of the youth. You know what we need in the youth? Because they're the only people now that can go into the school system and proclaim Jesus Christ and not get in trouble. Adults can't do it. Teachers can't do it. Coaches can't do it. But let a kid get on fire for God. Praise God. Wouldn't that be awesome if we just let loose? Somebody said it this morning. We're having a youth explosion up here. Well, wouldn't it be great if that explosion infiltrated all the school systems that our kids go to with Jesus? Wouldn't it be good? The Holy Spirit shakes the leaves of the spring trees of our life. God, we got a bunch of spring trees around here. I mean, I can't help it, man. Every time I look around, there's a kid running, hanging, knocking, taking, doing. I mean, it's amazing. I love it. Somebody go, man, what are we going to do with all these kids? Brace yourself. What do you mean, brace yourself? Get a good stance. Shoulder width apart. Sink your backside. Get a good stance. Why? Because if not, they will knock you over. That's the only plan I got for you. I'm sorry. And be careful pulling out of here in the parking lot. Maybe we'll get a couple parents up there just to grab a kid or two. Praise God, I'm praying right now that we get a revival of kids in our church that would be on fire for God, that we wouldn't go down there with some kind of come to our youth group, man, come to our Jesus. Then I got that summer. Hey, man, is there any summer people in here? Let me give you a summer age, 35 and under. You're in the summer of your life. Big old green full trees. What that means is you barely got any gray in your beard or hair. Hey, man, when you get up in the morning, nothing hurts that wasn't hurting the night before. Golly, bum. Some of you older folks, amen, every once in a while. It wouldn't hurt you nothing. man, you're writing a full part of your life, and the winds are blowing, and man, life's pretty good. But wouldn't it be something if you get on fire for God and stop worrying about yourself so much and worry about God? Wouldn't it be so good all of a sudden a 30-something-year-old man, 35-year-old man or under would all of a sudden say, you know what, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. As for me and my house, we're going to go out in this community. We're going to shake some things up for Jesus, because the Holy Spirit of God will not allow me just to be comfortable and to go through life and just attend church. I want to be a part of a holy move of God. Then I started looking at it, because this is where the season we're in. We're in the fall season. I'm sorry, I can't help but be comedic in a way. The wind's blowing in our life, and it's starting to get colder. Well, for some of us, and things are just falling off. Amen? You can't explain it. You're just falling off. Can't run as far, can't walk as far, can't sit as long, whatever it is. Things are falling. Golly, bum. Let me just say it the way God. You're falling apart. Amen? And you said it was never going to happen to you. Amen? You get up. What wouldn't hurt the night before? What did you do? How did you get hurt? Don't know. Woke up. Slept rough. Praise God. Guess what? Follow your life before it all falls apart. Give it to Jesus. Golly, bum, we got a little bit of time left. I got this thing going on in my life right now. If God keeps telling me, he said, if you don't do it now, Kevin, you won't do it. You won't have time. Do it now. Do it now. Every time somebody comes around, oh, well, we don't need to do it. We need to be careful. Need to be safe. Don't need to get in trouble. I hear them and I'm going, yeah, but God says, I've only got a little bit of time left. We need to go. The wind's blowing now. Things are falling off in my life. Praise God. I only got a limited amount of time. Who's with me? Let's go. And then I started looking. That winter season, man, that was, I got a couple trees over there that are just, they ain't got no leaves on them. And every once in a while, man, they'll just be part of the tree laying off in the yard. But you know what? It's still standing. It's still standing. Praise God, if you're in that category, you're in the winter part of your life. Praise God, if you're still standing, tell them why you're still standing. Tell them how you got here. Be a landmark. Be a prayer warrior. Be a person who profounds scripture. People who doesn't pass fear. Praise God, let me tell you this. If you get to a certain age, praise God, you know what you need to do? You need to get a little backbone about you, a little square your shoulders, stiff your neck, say, praise God, I live this long. I'll say whatever I want to say. What are you going to do, kill me? I think, praise God, some of y'all need to say, hey, as you're down there, just say, hey, Jesus is awesome. Hey, you need to cut that out. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, tip my wheelchair over? Praise God. I'm serious. Praise God. If you're going to go out with a little bit of noise. Praise God. Rattle the timber. Praise God. Let every limb fall off, but let them fall off for Jesus. So what are you saying, preacher? If the Spirit of God is in you and He dwells in you, there should be some things moving in your life, and you should be saying, I can't help it. I can't help it. I've got to share Jesus. I got to love other people. I have to, because the Spirit of God in me is welling up, and I'm looking forward to my spiritual home. Praise God, if that ain't going on in you, you're not saved. If you come in here from Sunday to Sunday and week to week, and you're sitting here still trying to figure out why you can't lie, cheat, steal, drink, and all that stuff, praise God, let me tell you this. It's because you ain't got Jesus yet, and if you'll get Him, praise God, He'll take all that from you, dry it all up in you, and send you out of here a better person, better man, better woman, better child, amen? And if you would trust Him, He will. And the hardest people in the world to get saved is good people. But there's some of you in here, man, you good. You measure yourself up against me. You're a better man, better woman. You're sitting here going, man, I really don't know if I even need Jesus. You need Him more than anybody else. You're the most dangerous person there is. Somebody who's good. Because good don't get you into heaven. Saved does. You'll be surprised if you ever give a hint to Jesus. You'll be one of the greatest soul winners for Jesus, because you'll say, man, even a good man like me needed Jesus to get into heaven. I'm praying that most of you in this room have been here in this series. We're trying to get you to serve, follow your gift in the Holy Spirit. I hope some of y'all would start praying, God, reveal to me what you would have me to do in the next 3 to 4 years at Flat Top Church. I want to be a part of this move of God, because we are going to have a move of God. But it's going to be led and spearheaded by us going into this community and telling them and showing them that Jesus loves them. We need you. We want you. We need and want you to be a part of it. Let's all stand.